10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Happy New Year!
Come with me now. Come with me now.
Hi, everybody. It's New Year's Eve. Happy New Year. Oh, my goodness. 16 is out the tubes and 17 is on its way. Are you ready for this? Are you ready for what's about to happen? Are you ready? Could you possibly be ready? Could you ever be ready for another trip around the sun? Because that's where we're going, babies. That's where we're going. Another trip around the sun. This is the end of the year recap. This has been a pretty crazy year, really, on the podcast. It's been crazy for me all the way around. I traveled about 370,000 miles this year. I have no idea how many nights I spent in a hotel. I don't know how many people I talked to. But I spent a lot of time and a lot of energy and had a lot of fun sort of going out and talking about the world we live in, responding to some bad things for sure, preventing some bad things certainly, but also talking about the move that's happening around the way we learn and improve by understanding systems and their reliability differently. That's a big part of what we do, and that's been the year for me. To recap this year, man, I don't know. My goal for 2016 was to take it slow. Bob Edwards calls it slow down and grill because he works with those Kingfords guys, and that's what they talk about. I was gonna just take it easy, and I would say last year, as it relates to my resolution, I probably didn't do the best job I could have done. Although, I must admit, I think if I wanted to be slower, I'd be slower. I think in many ways, I'm my own problem. You remember a couple years ago, I did the Year of Gratitude, where I really exercised and thought consciously as much as I could about being grateful. That was an amazing year. One year, I spent a year and I tried to buy somebody lunch every day. And that was fun. That was really interesting. And it wasn't horribly expensive or anything. It was just fun. It was really a cool thing to do. And it surprised people because I oftentimes would buy people I know lunch. That's probably not terribly surprising. But I many times bought people I didn't know lunch. And that was kind of fun. I always wondered what they thought about it. I tried to not be too creepy or sneaky. I just tried to make it happen. And so, you know, that was a good year as well. But this year, 17, I don't know what direction I'm going to head with it. I've had a lot of options, but I think the option that I'm going to work on probably first and foremost is trying to identify and understand sort of the fundamental goodness that exists in people. So when I'm met with conflict or something doesn't go the way I think it should, instead of responding from a position of why didn't that happen the way I wanted it to happen, I think I'm going to really focus this year on trying to determine the fundamental goodness that exists in the world around us, because I think that's going to be a pretty important thing to pick up on. I've looked at it carefully, and so I put a sign on my door. In fact, I just did it today, and I put that sign on my door. It's kind of an affirmation, I guess. So I have to look at it when I walk out the door, that says, "I don't know what's going to happen today, but I'm fairly certain it's going to be great." And that's going to be really the approach I'm going to take, and I'll see if it makes a difference. It's a big sociological experiment, but it's a good experiment. And I invite you, and today's a good day to do it, or whenever you listen to this podcast, I invite you to also think about creating a behavioral study component. Look at some kind of output that you do that could create change, and then experiment with that change. Because really what I'm doing is micro-experimenting, a sociological experiment on how we make the world happen and what the potential we have to impact the world is by simply the actions we give to the other people around us. And many of you, and gosh, I wish I knew all of you that listen to this podcast. There's so many, but the ones that I do know that listen with pretty great regularity, man, I know many of you do this just as a matter of course. And that's quite remarkable as well. And so that's really what I'm going to look at for 2017. So if you're interested, the idea is that we're going to look for and understand. We don't know what will happen when faced with uncertainty, but I'm pretty sure what I'll learn is going to be good. Now, you could say I'm falling into the classic optimism bias, but I'm going to tell you that I've already been in the optimism bias, and so are you. We kind of share that as human beings, so that's part of where it goes. 16 is a recap. Well, if you heard the 100th podcast episode, you really got 2 years of recap, but I'm thinking about how we've changed and how the world has changed. And I think about that a lot. When you think about how safety's moved in really the last, let's say the last 40 years, 25, 30, 35, 40, something around there, we've really been on a journey. It's kind of a maturation curve. We've matured. Where initially we had nothing, I mean, there really was nothing except some people were probably better at being safe than others, but we didn't really have a safety effort that we talked about, certainly not globally like we do now. Then we began the safety journey by understanding compliance and creating and enforcing compliance, making rules and standards, and then actually communicating those rules and standards, and then enforcing those rules and standards in order to create a workplace where we were able really to drive out some of the individual variability. I wear sandals, you wear steel-toed shoes, that kind of variability. I don't wear safety glasses, you do wear safety glasses. Once we drove out that variability and created a standard, we really saw some immediate improvement in how safety happened in our organizations. And in fact, in the early days, we really saw safety as something you do to the worker. And in fact, if you really pushed me, we saw it something as you did to the individual worker. So safety was almost entirely an individual intervention, make a rule, communicate that rule, enforce that rule, and people will follow that rule. As long as it kind of meets the test of rules, we understand what it is, it has operational fidelity, and it's enforced fairly and pretty uniformly. That initial push in safety changed the world. Because what happened is we just got better. I mean, we stopped killing people. We stopped having nearly as many injuries as we once had. Think about it. There was a time where an amputation was not terribly unusual, and now it's incredibly unusual. I mean, if you want to really take it down to where it matters, there was a time in our history where fatality in the workplace was not uncommon, and now it is a complete outlier. I mean, it's just completely, it's devastatingly uncommon for us now. So once we sort of rode the wave of that first safety, Eric Hallnagel called it safety one. And I don't think that safety will ever go away. I think standards are really important. I think driving out individual variability is really important to a great extent. But once we kind of got good at that first phase, we started hunting around because what happened is our performance got way better and then kind of leveled out. And when we started leveling out again, we started looking at safety by design. So process safety became kind of a part of the vocabulary. It's pretty new if you think about it. It hadn't been around that long. Certainly not as long as goggles have been around. They've been around a long time. And we started figuring out that you could design safety into systems that actually created better outcomes for everyone, not just the individual worker, but for the organization as well. And so we started looking at things like, well, the one that comes to mind is cockpit design. We started really learning that, wow, if we spent some more time and designed cockpits so they made sense to the human factors, then in fact we could guarantee even more variability is driven from the system, and the system becomes even more and more stable. And we got really, really good at safety by design. If you're on the oil and gas side, man, think about what process safety's done for us. Think about how much we've improved. If you're an aviator, if you're a pilot or in aviation, do I even need to have this conversation with you? And if you're in manufacturing or whatever you do, you start seeing that processes and the way we design them, that systems and control rooms and switches and knobs and gauges, if we could make those more uniform, then we could, in fact, drive out more variance and drive in more stability. And that phase two of safety, the sort of safety by design phase, that also had huge, almost immediate impact, probably not immediate. It took us a while to figure out that. But that impact that it had was very, very positive. And it made the world a better place. There's no question about it. And then we leveled out again. And that's kind of where we are now on this journey. Because now, really, when you look at your reportability to whatever government regulatory agent you report to, or whatever board of directors you report to, if you look at your days away number and your total case numbers, they're probably pretty low and getting lower. In fact, you're kind of at a point now where once accidents were sort of predictive of accidents. So if one guy cut his hand, you could pretty much guess another guy was going to cut his hand. Now the numbers are so small that they're no longer predictive. In fact, we can't really use those numbers to manage safety because events are relatively rare, at least rare enough that they're no longer predictive. And near misses have kind of changed. Near misses in the old days were truly near misses. Holy crap, I'm one banana peel away from killing somebody. Now, a near miss is kind of more of a dress rehearsal to the accident, and it's a pretty good bet the reason the near miss is a near miss is because one of your safety systems, either your enforcement compliance system or your design process system, worked. And so we actually stopped the event from having consequence because the systems were in place. I talk about this all the time. It's really important to understand. You know, if somebody comes in and says, holy crap, we almost killed somebody, and you say, why didn't they die? And they'll say, well, because they had the right PPE on, they were standing behind a shield, they were appropriate distance away, and the right protection was in place. I would tell you that we didn't almost kill somebody. What we did was we tested our safety system, and it worked perfectly. That new place, that kind of third place, if you go from compliance, or Eric calls it safety one, that's the first place. Safety by design or process safety, that's kind of the second place. This third place, which I would call probably human performance, but Hallnagel would call safety two, this third place is kind of where we are now. And that's the journey we're on, really, as kind of a future driver for us. Because now we're using non-predictive event data, and what we're really looking at is fine-tuning variability in our processes so they become even safer. Not safe, because safe's probably not an outcome to be managed, and we no longer are managing safety as an individual worker intervention. So we don't do safety to the workers. In fact, what shifted is where once the workers were the thing we were trying to fix, now the workers actually are the key to actually fixing the process. So the workers kind of have flipped, and what's changed is not the workers, or really not even us. What's changed is that the way we look at safety has matured. The cool question, and it is kind of the New Year's Eve special, so I can say this. The cool question is, I wonder where it's going to go next. I mean, I'm really curious where it's going to go next, because I'm very interested. Personally, I've got a book that's coming out very soon on fatalities, because I would suggest fatalities, which may be the next thing we look at, don't fall into the safety one program, don't fall into process safety, and don't really follow into human performance. They sort of are kind of their own thing. And doing safety harder doesn't mean we won't kill people. I think fatalities truly are outliers. They're anomalies. Kind of the Nassim Taleb black swan idea. There, even though in Australia, I know that the black swan is not that interesting because you actually, in Perth, there are you can see a black swan, so they're not that rare. But in his metaphor for rareness, really those fatalities become these outlier events that are kind of non-predictive and really are just anomalies statistically to the way we operate our facilities. That little history lesson, maybe that wasn't a history, that little discussion that has some history but mostly points us towards the future, that's what we ought to be thinking about in 2017. Where will we go and what's next? Is doing the same things harder going to actually take us to a different place? We still have to do the things we do, but are they now sufficient enough to actually take us to a place where we don't kill people, or we don't have amputations, or we don't have the odd injury? And that is our challenge. That's always been our challenge. But when you chunk it up, deconstruct it, if you were, that challenge is a little more palatable. Is that the word I want? It's a little less Herculean and a little more systemic. If you're an engineer listening to this podcast, and I know you're there, that's a little helpful hint because it sort of shows us an arc, if you will, of where we're progressing in the way we think. In a way, this is kind of a safety renaissance. You've been a part of it. We've all been a part of it. We're lucky to be here. We probably didn't do it, but we were there to have those conversations and to be those early renaissance thinkers about how to change the way we look at and understand safety. I don't know what's going to happen next. I really don't know, but I'm pretty sure it's going to be cool. And now you can kind of see why that is what I'm using as my theme for next year. If you think about life as a journey and the notion of maturing, aging, although I hate to say that, but maturing and developing, growing and improving, safety is very similar to us. It started out taking baby steps. It moved to sort of looking at the safety of the nursery, and now we're maybe toddlers stepping out and understanding more and more and more. That's probably enough. We could spend a lot of time, but it's New Year's. What we ought to be doing is looking for a nice meal, a group of friends, family, hanging out with people, wearing goofy hats, and standing up, singing Auld Lang Syne, songs like that, and bringing in another opportunity to hang out with each other. Because ultimately what we have at the end of the day is just each other. That's it. There's not much more to it. You know, you can have a ton of money and a big car and a cool house, but all of that's relatively temporary, right? I mean, it just is. All we ultimately have in this life is just the opportunity to be with each other. And I'm proud of what you've done, because what you've done is made a workplace where people really can go home at night and be with their family and their people and hang out and have fun. And you can go home at night and be with your family and your people and hang out and have fun and come back in then the next morning and do it all again. As an organization, what we do is face uncertainty every single day. But we do it in a way where we're constantly managing that uncertainty by managing the variables we can manage step by step, piece by piece, paso y paso. That is what we do as safety managers, as safety leaders, as resilience leaders, as reliability people. Whatever you do, a pilot, doctor, nurse, whatever you do, you help the organization face uncertainty as smartly as they possibly can. The power we have is in the ability to manage variabilities, conditions, if you will, variabilities that exist along the way. We won't manage accidents, What we manage is safety as a capacity, as a method, as the way by which we do the work we do. That is the Pre-Accident Podcast, the final, ultimate episode of 2016. For sure, do me one huge favor. Have a great 2017. Try to learn something new every single day. Have as much fun as you possibly can. And for goodness sakes, be safe.
Come with me now. Come with me now.
I'm totally serious. Have a happy new year. Dang it.